hardly any way you can clean one of them good enough. And you can't hardly spray enough sweet smelling stuff in them to keep your clothes from smelling like Bull Durham or Prince Albert or Lucky Strikes or Camels or something. And we got moved in out here, and I said, Burl, I told my wife I lay on that bed to rest my weary bones a while. Do you know what Daniel said about us running to and fro? I don't care if gasoline gets to be $9.32 a gallon. You ain't going to be able to get out in the four lanes, Harley, because God's going to see to it that we fulfill His word. I've been traveling 60,000 miles a year now for so many years. I traveled 1,000,000 miles 10 years ago and quit counting. And I mean, they're out there as thick as I ever saw them. And if they don't build a few more roads, we're going to run over each other. But I told my wife, I said, I'll lay here and die on this preacher's bed here in this parsonage if the Lord wants me to, and be happy to do it, just to be able to be with the saints of God. I'm honest about it. I'm honest. I'm not knocking sinners. I was a sinner, but I just like God's children. I come here alone. I come here when Adam was alive. That's 20-some years ago. One of the fellows that helped take the offer tonight saved in my meeting here 22 years ago, 21 or 2 years ago. It's good to be with you here in this place. And the Lord has gone to fix a place for us. And somebody said, build me a cabin. Forget it!
Come on, brother.
You can call for a cabin if you want to, but I ain't called for no cabin. Hallelujah. Me and my wife, my first wife is here with me. And we lived in an 11-foot long house trailer, Brother Brooks, and the quilts froze to the wall every morning. While we were evangelists, the insulation didn't know what the word was. Had a bed one end and a stove in the other, and it's 11 foot long. And we evangelized in that. And we had the bus ministry back then, Brother Brooks. I had a 29 Model A Ford with a rumble seat, and we just filled it full and brought them. We started the busing program back there years ago and trying to do something. But I tell you what, I love God's people, and I'm not going where they're going to have a bunch of cabins. No, I'm not. I'm not going to go there where they got cabins and shanties. No, sir. No, ma'am. I'm going to a land of pure delight. Right. I read about an angel from there the other day that appeared to Manoah and his wife. And Manoah said, tell us your name. He said, why do you ask my name, seeing it is a secret? There are angels that live there that come here and go back there that can't tell you what their name is. It's a secret. There are angels that live there that come here and go back there that can tell you what their name is. And one of them told a little lady in the New Testament, I am Gabriel, which stand in the presence of God. I'm going to take what that Oklahoma man said was a plane air ride after a while. Not an airplane ride, but just a plane air ride. And I'm going where men live forever. It's good to be here, and I hope we have a good meeting, but we won't unless the Lord helps us. We just don't know enough to have a good meeting unless the Lord helps us. We're not smart enough to have a good meeting unless the Lord helps us. I don't know whether you've got any what called a school of the prophets in this country or not, but there's some in the world, and one of them baptizes in the name of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, or in his own name. And he did have a big church over on Kings Avenue in St. Louis. And they're supposed to know everything about everything, and they could just question anyone about anything and line them out, they think, but we're not smart enough to line everybody out, and we are not smart enough to turn everybody loose and fix what they tear up.
Amen. Amen.
I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my people. We're not smart enough to handle the devil. We just don't have that much about us. But if the Lord will help us, we can have a good meeting. And I just feel like He'd like to help us. I just feel like He wants to help us. So if the Lord will help us, we'll have a good meeting. But if He doesn't, I won't put you on. I, fellas up in our country preaching, he said, Can you see it? Can you see it? Oh, he said to him, I said, Deep, you can't see it. I want to say it, any child in the house can see it.
Come on, brother.
Any child that's got any sense can understand you. You're not preaching all that great. So, unless the Lord helps us, we won't do so well. Amen? That's the truth, isn't it? I'm going to sing. I want Joe Bill and Carpenter load up a carload of these Kentuckians, and don't forget Brother Benny. Come down. We'll just have a singing revival, and Benny can do some preaching in it. I'd like for us, our Oklahoma people, to hear these Kentucky fellas sing. They just sing different than anybody I've ever heard, and I'd like for them to come. And I told Brother Duck tonight, if you don't mind my reminiscing a little bit, I probably won't do it like you do. And I've seen fellas preach, and I went home and said, Lord, I wish I could preach like that. That was so good till I want to preach, but I can't. I tried it. I first began to preach, I heard the bird song sing. Ooh, they sung. I said, Lord, help me sing. I fell into prayer about singing. And I prayed and I prayed for the Lord to help me sing. And the Lord spoke to me while I was praying and said, I didn't call you to sing. I called you to preach. He didn't tell me I couldn't try to sing. But I was fixing to put my priorities in the wrong place. And the Lord knew it. I've heard fellas do good, but you just can be what you are. And the sooner you learn that you'll be what God wants you to be, you'll fare better. We'll do better when I heard a fella come through our country and he'd say, Amen! 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 And he hadn't been gone 3 weeks, so four or five preachers around him. Amen! Amen! They didn't feel too good about Charles Jessup when they got him for betting money on them gambling chickens he had at the back of his house down the Gulfport. Say amen, Brother Doug.
Amen.
You know you live down there.
Yes, sir.
They didn't much want to be like you. Better be what God wants you to be, because you won't be nothing all of you.
Well, I won't mind the load I'm bearing. I won't mind the clothes I'm wearing. I won't mind the way I'm faring. If I can just make it in, I won't mind the work I've done. I won't mind the race I've run. All my trials will count as one. If I can just make it in, 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 that heavenly gate. Oh, sometimes my pathway's drear, sometimes my heart is filled with fear. Well, I won't mind my every tear, if I can just make it in. Well, I won't mind the scorn, the hating. I won't mind my friend forsaking. I won't mind my watchful waiting, if I can just make it in. All earth riches I'll resist. I won't join in this world's bliss, and I won't mind the ones I've missed, if I can just make it in.
We're going to read to you from the book of Hosea, the 13th chapter. If you'd like to read with us, we're going to read a verse or two to you there. And try to preach on a little text that came to my mind the other day while I was praying. I have a good friend that gave me a book on snappy sermon starters. I tried the jumper cables on them and couldn't even get a bounce out of them. So I thought I'd just pray again, see if the Lord would help me. Try to get a text maybe from the Lord if I could. Hallelujah. Appreciated Charlie's girl singing. Sings like her daddy. And someday when her daddy's gone and mother's gone, we hear her, we'll say, well, that's the way Charlie used to sing. God bless you. 13th chapter of Hosea, the 9th verse. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. Fella bought a toy the other day down in Oklahoma, and fella told him it's a self-destruction toy. It self-destructs. Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. So I'm going to talk to you a little while tonight. The Lord helps us on the thought, Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. Hey, tell me now about the Cubans that's hijacking our airplanes and making them fly them back to Cuba. Now we're talking about a repatriation program to send them back. I was hoping we was big enough to stop them from coming, but we wasn't. Our Navy, our Army, our Air Force, there wasn't nobody could keep them out. But now since we've got them here that was sent here to infiltrate our economy and our government with their communistic doctrine, now we're trying to get rid of some of them, man. We're trying to get Castro to agree with us so we can send them back. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. I wish I had better news tonight, but my heart has been heavy for a long while now. And I live here in America, the country that I love, the country that I appreciate. When they sang a national anthem yet, I can't help but stand straight as I can. When I see a policeman drive down the street, I'm reminded of what my father told me. They're here for our good, son. They have a job to do and mine to man. When I was a boy, school teachers that taught school were held in honor and esteem. We never thought about one going out on a strike or anything like that. They were just people that was to be honored. They didn't have a smoking room for them at the schoolhouse. They didn't have a lounge for them to go in there and louse around while they had somebody doing the job for them. My papa told me, when you go to school, if you get a whipping at school, you get a whipping at home. Woo! I was like Leon Farley. Y'all ever met Leon Farley? Well, when he done them spin-arounds down there in Sepulpa and popped them wheelies down there and done all that scooting around them corners in his car, and the police arrested him and said, now what's your daddy's name? He said, forget it. They said, boy, we got to call your daddy. Don't call my daddy. He said, put me to sleep here somewhere. Show me where you want me to stay, but don't call dad. He kept on. He said, you may think I'm joking, but I'm honest. Don't call daddy. And they finally turned him loose. He knew what his daddy would do, and he was more scared of him than he was the county sheriff. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. What we are doing, what we are allowing to happen, what is taking place in our country is our doing. And it's destroying our democracy. In Genesis, the 6th chapter, the 5th verse, and God said that the wickedness of man, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's about all he could think about. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I've made them. Why? Because they're sinful. Because they're evil. Because they're doing diverse to the will of God. Every time they think evil. Everywhere they turn, they think evil. I intercepted some mail the other day going to a certain place, and it had a very scantily clad woman on the front of it. And inside, I couldn't think of telling you what was in that little booklet here. I have too much respect for you to tell you, but that can come to your home, mail right into your house, and you can subscribe for it here in America, right in our homes. I cannot explain to you. I did not know that such devices were made. I didn't know that a man could order him a woman. I didn't know that. I mean a rubber woman the size of a natural woman. I didn't know a man could order a woman. You can order that publication, get it right in your mailbox, right at your home. Your children can open it up, and there will be naked women with women and naked men with men. Yeah, I know what I'm saying. I don't want to be too plain, but we are too plain, and that's what's happening to us.
Yes, sir! Come on, brother!
Oh, Israel! You've destroyed yourself. Oh, first world, men that are sinking in the water, men that are drowning and children drowning around you. You've done it to yourself. You're the one that's caused it. You're the one that brought it on. That's what destroyed the first world was wickedness. Wickedness. Such devices that were in that book, I will not try to explain. But I didn't know you could order all that stuff. In the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis, God gives us a story. Let's look at the 20th verse of the 18th chapter. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they've done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me. And if not, I will know. God watches the world. He watches people. He beholds men and women. And He watches what they do. And here He's going to go down and run an investigation and see if it's as bad as they say it is. And if it is, God will have to do something. Oh, Israel, you've brought it on yourself. You've killed yourself. I had a cousin that took a .38 the other day, 51 years old, put it to his head, and made his way from the Oklahoma hills, from the old Sooner land, from the land my grandpa looked on in 1900 when the Indians had lookouts on every high piece of ground. He left there and went to hell from Oklahoma. It's a pitiful journey. It's a lonely old trip. You destroyed yourself, Linville. You sent yourself on. You knew better. You heard your old grandma pray. You heard your grandpa shout. You heard your mother play that old guitar and sing Amazing Grace. You heard prayer offered over the food. You had your chance, boy. You sent yourself on. You've committed your own crime. You've destroyed yourself. We cannot now tonight, America falls. We cannot now tonight face the world and say it's anyone's fault but ours. I reckon, have mercy. Not many men love America no more. I was in our third president's home, our fifth president's home the other day. And as I was in those homes and looked those things over, I was over at Andrew Jackson Hermitage some while ago, and I look, nearly all of those early presidents, nearly to the last one, died poor men. Some were wealthy. They got nothing, pennies you might say, for their service, for their country. They got hardly anything for it. But they did it because it was an honor. And because they loved their country. Because they loved their people. We can't face the world tonight and blame anyone but ourselves for what we're into. For what we're up against. I'm ashamed of grown men in America that'll try to blame it on little old pale white-faced boys that ain't even old enough to get a loan at the bank because of this dope traffic and this sin that's among them. Where is our men at? Where is our men at? Where are those men that would wade those cold, icy streams? Where are those men that would climb those hills and shed that blood? Where are those men that a man could stand with and say, "Steady, men," and they'd fight to the last drop of blood? Where are they at? Letting our society go rampant and sin wreck and ruin our homes and no defense against it. Israel, you brought it on yourself. Here in Genesis 19:2, after God said, "I'll go look," there came two angels to Sodom and Eve and sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself and his face toward the ground and told them to turn in. What did they come down for? God just had to send two. No guns, no swords, no ammunition, no car apparently, no horse or anything, just appeared. Oh, friends, the destruction's headed our way. It's hard to describe. But the wrath of God is so far away from anything we've ever invented or produced to bring destruction. It's hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine what God's fixing to do. It's hard to imagine. I ate in a colonial place in Mower, Oklahoma last Sunday. And you know what they were giving away with the meal you bought? You guessed it. A little vial about that deep and about that big around with volcanoic ash from over at Mount Helena. It's already reached clear down into Oklahoma, and they're giving it away with your meals down there. The Lord, this summer's give us over 50 days of 100-degree temperatures down there, and we now qualify for federal aid because of drought, because of dried-up conditions, because of the falling water table. And folks says, "I tell you," one old boy said, "it's been like this before." I said, "What on earth do you mean? It's been like this before. It's never been like this. It's never been like this before. We're into something." But get us to wake up. Get us to see what's causing our trouble. Oh, Israel, you've destroyed yourself. God sent these angels to Sodom, and they looked it over. In the 13th verse, they said, "We will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." We're doing it ourselves. I'm not a rock and roll fan. Can't hardly stand it. I hope I don't get to be a grouch. I like the sound of a good set of drums. But if some fellas don't beat what they're doing, they just well throw them all in the Mississippi as far as I'm concerned. I like the sound of a good set of drums now. Yes, I've had them in my church. But I'm telling you what. This old jungle beat. I went in a place and a television was on. And there was... I don't know what the name for sure. Folks can't hardly keep the first name no more, the real name. It ain't good enough. We've got to change it. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if what somewhere there's a preacher got one of them hand-me-down handles, you know. You got to get a new name if you're going to be a star. You can't keep your original name. I believe it's one of the Rocks. And that boy standing up there singing in that and had that old jungle beat behind him. Boop, 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 boop. There's something about it to get you to booping. You ever notice one of them when they get started on a set of drums, one of these singing to get started? I'm pretty near coming apart myself before they ever get started. Men that are way smarter than you and I that have a bunch of double LDDs behind their name are telling us that that kind of stuff is affecting the nervous system, and I believe it now, because that fellow was standing there singing, and that bunch behind him was in that snake spirit, and I mean there's after it, and there's an old gal standing out in front of him and said, "Aah!" and fell out. She fell out, Sister Brooks. I saw her fall. And that old boy's head said, I said, "Is this Pentecost meeting here?" I'm telling you what, we are destroying ourselves. I've read after doctors that tell what it does to the eardrums. And I go in some place to eat. I say, "My God, have mercy. Is everybody in here under that spell? You can't hardly hear yourself thinking here. That pitch is so terribly high. It affects the nervous system." Their cry is come up before the face of the Lord. They're making such a noise down there. They're making such a shout down there. They're so full of sin down there till their cry has reached clear to heaven. Oh, you may laugh at it. You may hoot at it. But there was something to it that made them fall in the aisles for Elvis. There was some spirit in it that put them to jerking and jumping in Oklahoma City when they have them up there. There's something in that, and down at Lord Noble Center where they pay $8 and $10 a seat, and the shirt is unbuttoned clear to their belly button and below, and they burn $20,000 worth of instruments on that fireproof place on the platform, broke up the guitars and the amplifiers, and burned every one of them, $20,000 worth of instruments. Yeah, Brother Moore knows what he's saying. We're destroying, oh Israel, you called your own sentence of death. You put your own gun to your head. Yes. You brought it on yourself. Yes. I tell you who it is. It's the Baptists. They're the ones that's done it. That's them Baptists they've done it. No, it's the Methodists. They're the ones that done it. It's the Church of Christ. They're the very ones that... I tell you what, it's us. It's us. No wonder the old prophet that had the burden for the people confessed the sins of the people and said, "We have sinned against you, Lord." We all need to get under the burden ourselves and realize that we're calling for the destruction of the Lord. I wish I could preach something that is maybe a little smoother tonight. In the 24th verse, the Lord sent a rain, and he can send the peculiarest rains I've ever heard of. Send you a mud rain. Never had one? I've been in one. Oh, Brother Moore, well, I just won't tell the truth so you believe it. If I tell you anything that's unreasonable, you may not believe it. I've been in the mud rain. What happened? Well, you see, I'm not smart enough to explain all the elements and what happens in them. I never have been. I just have to accept it. I've been where when it rained on you, it left mud spots all over you. Well, somebody said, I don't... Well, if you know, that's fine. I mean, you may be able to explain it. But, I mean, I've been in mud rains. And I studied carefully. Moses, when him and Aaron went down and told Pharaoh what he's going to do. And the Lord sent a hailstorm and sent fire right along the ground. The Bible said, fire run along the ground. I never could understand how he put ice and fire in the same cloud, but he does. Long before we learned to make... fire, make ice in an ice box. He had fire and ice in the same cloud. He's head of us on. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Why did you do it, God? They called for it.
Yes. Come on.
They destroyed themselves.
Yes.
And World War II, this happened. A boy saw that his outfit was nearly wiped out. And saw there was no hope of breaking out. He called for his own buddies to fire the artillery upon his position. He didn't want to lay in a Japanese prison. He knew what they had done to our people. He called for the fire upon his own position. We could pray tonight in America and say, "Lord, they've done us wrong." But the greatest sin that we have committed is, "Lord, we have done ourselves wrong." We're destroying ourselves. God said to that Hebrew in the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, shall come to pass if thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord will set thee on high above all nations. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. You can't keep it from happening. Woo! If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city when you go to town. Blessed thou shalt thou be in the field when you chop in cotton. Blessed shalt thou be, shall be the fruit of thy body. Your boys and your girls will grow up to fear God. And you'll be proud of them and they'll be proud of you. The blessing. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. They shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, fruit of thy cattle, fruit of the ground, in the land which the Lord shall swear unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give rain unto the land in its season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. Thou shalt lend to many nations. Thou shalt not borrow. Well, you'll have stuff to lend. You won't have to borrow. But if you don't, it'll come to pass. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket in thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of the land, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with the fever, with an inflammation, with an extreme burning, with the sword, with blasting, with mildew. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish. Is the Bible right? And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass. And the earth that's under thee shall be iron. And the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, with hemorrhoids, with madness, with blindness, astonishment of heart. Thou shalt grope at the noonday. I'm not going to be able to finish all of that, but I want to show you something. God told the Hebrew what he would do to them if they didn't mind. And they destroyed themselves. That's the reason Hitler killed 6 million of them, because they didn't mind. That's the reason Hitler wiped out so many, because they didn't mind. That's the reason they became a byword in the mouth of all nations, like the Bible said they would. You know what they are? They're a byword. Don't Jimmy. Don't try to Jimmy. Why, they say it all over the world. Why? Because God said they would be a byword. That's the reason they say it. Israel, you destroyed yourself. Tonight, our greatest enemy is inside our borders. Your greatest enemy may be at your house tonight. Your greatest enemy may be wearing your shoes tonight, right here in this building. Amen? Had a little simple thought before I left home. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. I wish I could prophesy great and good things for America, but I can't. I must tell you that we're near the end of all things. And unless our people repent and seek God and be saved, it don't look like there's a chance for us to survive as a nation. God bless you. I wish I could say more encouraging things to you. Maybe someone here tonight will awake to the fact that they're destroying themselves. In Richlands, Virginia, where I just came from, there's a man used to like to sit by me when I went there. And he had sat by me and he loved to talk to me. I like to talk to him. I like to talk to people. I love people, best of all. But he liked to talk to me. He'd sit down by me and he'd talk to me. And you know, he had a habit that I used to have. The tobacco habit. That is one of the most aggravating habits a fellow can have. And there's no man that's got good sense that really is proud that he has it. Amen? It'll burn holes in your pocket. It'll make you stink. And you'll take your money and spend it for it when you wish you hadn't. No man that smokes will tell his little grandson, get your pack and start as soon as you can, son. Not if he's got good sense, he won't. No. There's a man at Richland that used to sit by me over there, and he liked to talk to me. And if you mentioned tobacco, he got mad. Well, you know the day we're in, preachers can't hardly mention nothing anymore.
Because there's somebody in the church somewhere that's doing the very thing they mentioned, and they've got the goods. I'm afraid you all half scared to death here tonight. What in the world? God bless you, son. You sought the Lord good at Richland. I was proud of you over there. He got mad when they mentioned tobacco. Well, it's worse than a rattlesnake. Now, come on. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. There ain't been as many people die of a rattlesnake bite as had with lung cancer from tobacco. He's got a hole in his neck tonight. I love him. He knows it. He stood and he'll verify. He got a hole in his neck tonight. Bless his heart. We love him. And he can't talk anymore. He always sat by me and talked. And he got angry if you preached against tobacco. But now since they've cut that out and the doctor told him it's caused from tobacco, if it hadn't been for that, he had had his voice. He you can say, you're not used to tobacco. I didn't know it, son. I didn't know that. I may have been told that. I didn't know. Oh, Israel, you have destroyed yourself. You lost your voice box because of what you did. There's a many man tonight, if he knew what he was doing, is going to put him where he's going to be after a while. Right here before he leaves this body, he wouldn't be doing that. He wouldn't be doing that, Joe Bill. He wouldn't be doing that. It's a little old preacher's duty to come to you and to warn you from God's Bible that you can't get it. I'll make you the tail and not the head. I'll cause you to borrow. You'll not be able to win. I'll smite you with the botch. I'll give an extreme burning. I'll cut the rain off from you. I'll cause the earth not to produce for you. I'll get you between a hard place and a rock here in a minute. Self-destruction. Max'll die. If Max'll don't get loose pretty soon, Max'll be buried. And the doctor told Maxie if he'd quit smoking, he'd be much, much better. And if it wasn't for smoking, he probably wouldn't be in the shape he's in. And he can't quit, or he says he can't. He can go through 3 major operations. He can go through surgery of every kind, but he can't quit tobacco. Israel, you have destroyed yourself. Adam, you lost your home because of what you did. Your boys lost the best place they could have ever lived because of what you did. And you blamed it on your wife. I was late at church when I was a younger preacher. I've been late a time or two since I've been an older preacher. But I was holding a fellow meeting by the name of Brother Ralph. You know what he said? B is with me one night. She's slow about getting ready. And we was about 5 minutes late. And when I got there, Brother Cook, I said, I'd have been here on time, but my wife wouldn't shut up, he said. Hit me just like that hit him a while ago when Joe Bill said, get up from there. It hit me the same way. And I shut up too. Don't you ever, young man, he said, blame your wife. You're the head of your house and you act like it. If he didn't just whop, Burl, he just cut the props completely out from under me. What do you think about it? Do you read statistics? Are you keeping up with what's going on? Or are you just happy to know that you've got something to eat and your bill's paid? You better look around. We're destroying ourselves. We're destroying ourselves. Our own wicked inventions is destroying us. Our own wicked inventions is destroying us. At the Richlands camp meeting, as a fellow got up and he walked on the balls of his feet, when your toes is gone, you lose your balance.
you don't walk like a normal fella. You can't walk like a normal fella. Your toes have to balance you. You may not know it, but they have to balance you out there. And you see him stagger around and try to praise God. You know what's wrong with him? His toes is gone. Why? He drank so much alcohol and laid up there drunk so long and so much, they find him froze to death nearly and had taken the hospital several times. He'd lose a toe. And once in a while when he went, he'd already run it and have to take the toe off. What is his name? Pig's brother's name. Pig's brother's here. What? Monk? You know what you could truthfully say to Monk? Oh, Monk! Thou hast destroyed your own feet. Right. Oh, Monk could agree with me. I was there and have prayed him through, praise right. Brother through. Right. We're destroying ourselves. We're calling for the judgment of God ourselves. As a nation, as a sinful people, we're calling for it. You're not like the old boy down home, are you? He said, I can smoke pot that won't bother me. Everybody know that it's bothering him but him. So sleepy, he couldn't hardly stay awake nearly all the time. That's one of the symptoms. And he's sharp. He's like the old drunk. Every time he said anything, here's the funny of the whole world. That's that death over. It wasn't funny to nobody but him. That's the way that old sleepy stuff does you. And then you'll have someone like an Ann Landers or somebody that'll send you out a survey on it. And they'll say they're not for sure whether it hurts you or not. Go ahead and smoke another 40 packs of it. Go ahead and live on it 5 or 10 years. We'll find out after a while that it'll kill you. We'll find out after a while that it causes cancer. We'll find out after a while that it leaves you with hardly no mind. We'll find out after a while that it leaves you with no resistance. That's when you go from that dope to another harder end of it because it breaks your resistance down. But we don't want to hear the preacher. Well, what is a preacher for? I haven't got hardly any use in the world for a sissified preacher on a pair of shoes heels about 3 or 4 inches high, twisting around and trying to act like a woman and trying to talk like a woman, has to take a shower about 3 times a day and spray himself down, praise God, like he's broke out of something. Cry aloud and spare not. Tell them how good they are. Brag on the clubs they belong to. Tell them not to join another one. Tell them to go to the Odd Fellers. They'll save them. Tell them to join the Mason. They'll get religion with that. But whatever you do, don't say anything about what's causing them to be destroyed. No. God said, cry aloud and spare not. Preach to the house of Jacob this sin and the transgressions. House of Israel this sin. Oh, I tell you. I just wish I knew that nobody was destroying himself. But they are. And that's my message tonight. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. I worked for a man named Pete Miller, 912 Southeast 29th Street in Oklahoma City. He run a Phillips 66 service station. Pete was a good man in the way. I liked to work for Pete. I was a very young man. He had a wife and 2 boys. But you know, Pete began to take a little sip. Take a little sip. Take a little nip. We've even got professing Pentecostals down in Oklahoma that think they're so well controlled until they can take what's called a social drink. We get the finished product of the brewer's art at the house of God. That's what we get. Down and out, hopelessly lost, not a way in the world to be cured unless God does it, and He does do it. They never put the picture of that poor little old girl down in Oklahoma City that vomited all over her dress, hanging between 2 sailor boys, going down there with a drunk. She didn't know where she was at, and they hauled her where they wanted to that night and did what they wanted to. They don't ever put that picture beside that ham and cheese up there beside that beer bottle. I don't understand how we can so thoroughly destroy our society, our people, our own lives, practically commit suicide ourselves and cover up for it so well. We prosecuted some people over in the snake handling country, and some of you boys have been there, and some of our boys used to handle them snakes. Cash D. Amberger did. Well, he tell you he did. Tell you that's what's the matter. Well, now, amen, it ain't no secret. Are you afraid of your shadow?
Are you afraid to say anything? Oh, we guard, so we pretty near got to have a lawyer to go to the post office. Pretty near got to have a lawyer to go to the bank. Afraid to say anything. God help us. It wouldn't hurt some of us preachers. Maybe to have to lay in jail a night or two. I have had to face the judge. God help us. Afraid to say boo. Why, some folks would do more to run a skunk out of the yard than they would to get the devil out of the house. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm telling you right. When I was just a young preacher, one of our relatives come with his beer. I was glad he come, but it wasn't the beer. I didn't even wait on Mom and Papa to tell him what to do. Going to put it in our ice box. Well, I'd rather shut up the old Maltese cat in there. I'd rather shut the cat up in it as that beer. And we just didn't let him put the beer in there, brother. I loved him and he knowed it, but I didn't love beer. There's a stopping place in your life, and if you don't stop, you destroy yourself. A social drink. Well, what does drink do? What is it good for? We prosecuted some people that handle snakes, and we got a law passed, and you know what we said when we passed that law? Well, if you don't know about it, say that Brother Moore does, and then prove that he don't, will you? We said there's been several people die over the years in a certain state over the handling of snakes. And what an oration we made. And how we convinced the lawmakers, yes, we must pass a law that it's unlawful to handle snakes. And we did. Well, does anybody here know anything about how many deaths is caused each year because of the consumption of alcoholic beverages? Thank you, Brother Brooks. Well, it looks like there wasn't near that many destroyed over snake handling. It was below 100. It looks like we could get somebody up front that cares enough about this self-destruction spirit that's taking place in America to pass a little law against the consumption of anything that'll take any human lives. One. We have thoroughly convinced ourselves and the Sergeant General of the United States that the consumption of tobacco, smoking especially, causes 80 to 90% of lung cancer. And we have really done something about it. I'm here to tell you. Now, stay with me, Carpenter. Don't answer if you don't, because I don't want to embarrass you. But if I had you as a guard in my place, and you let every thief in the world in there, and they carried off, I'd fire you. Here we are guarding against these destructive things, and we've really got brave. Now, we slammed the door on tobacco. We have put it on the package that is injurious to your health. And take that. It has increased the consumption of tobacco. I challenge you, more women are smoking than ever has before. We are not much concerned about how we're destroying ourselves. We are not too much interested in that. If we were, we wouldn't make it so easy for a man and woman to up and get divorced anytime they want to, and their little children have to come to Brother Moore's church with somebody else bringing them and look at you like a little scared animal of some kind, wondering how you're going to treat them while mom and daddy runs rampant into where they want to, and they're wards of the juvenile court, and they bring them to my church all the time. The little innocent children is just looking and wondering. I know this message wouldn't be popular. I know, and I'm not saying it's great preaching, no, sir. But I am saying, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. You called it on your own head. Pete took a little drink and then another little drink. And then he learned to play at them dice. You know, I already sound like a fanatic now, because really I'm not. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to get your children on the road to drinking beer, buy them some of that there stuff that looks just like beer in a bottle that looks like a beer bottle. And let them go drinking that a while. Get them a set of dice and learn to let them bump them. You know, 7 come 11, and they'll learn it pretty quick. And they never gamble, they know how anyhow. And I mean, and then if they ever start, they done got it down. All right. Pete began to bump the dice against the old board there a little bit. I was a sinner. Same men as bumping dice the next morning, just a little while when I'd come back to work, the same men bumping dice all night long. I've left in the glass flying the police on the road when they got in them old drunken fights. I saw Pete go from a good businessman to a blurry-eyed alcoholic, and I was a sinner. Oh, Pete, I said, you don't need to do this. I saw his wife go down with the old TB, passed away. That's what my uncle's wife died with in World War I. When he come back from World War, communications then were very poor. She said, I believe we'll go out home, stopped in a little country town. Started out the house, said, haven't you heard CD? No, what you mean? Said, your wife's dead. She died last fall with the TB. Oh, no, he said. That's the reason he used to stand around in Oklahoma. I didn't know for years why I did it when I was a little boy. There's a fellow wrote a song, his wife was to die in the fall. And that's when your father died. And that's when my old uncle would stand and say, tie the leaves so they can't come down and Mary won't go away. He'd sing it over and over. Tie the leaves so they can't come down and Mary won't go away. Miss Miller died with the TB, worrying and fretting over Pete. His children went, whoever took them had to take them. Last time I seen Pete, staggering down East Reno Street with a ball peen hammer in his hand and drunk. Oh, Israel, you've destroyed yourself! Right. It ain't fair to you, boy. It ain't fair to you, man. It's not fair to you, girl. It's not fair to you, woman, for you to destroy yourself here in front of me. You need to come here. If you're not saved, get right with God. Live while you're on God's footstool. It ain't fair for you to commit suicide. It's not fair for you to destroy yourself. Pete went to California. Had a car wreck. Lost one leg. Went on a water wagon for 6 months. Got on another drunk. Had another car wreck. Lost the other leg. Hardly ever hear of it. He's been on the water wagon now for about 8 years. And he rides in a wheelchair. And they can't fit him with no legs. And the only answer he's got when men say, what happened to you, Pete? I got drunk. I lost my legs. Done it to myself. Done it to myself. It's not bad to go broke if you do the best you can. And you can tell the Lord, I done my best. It's not bad to lose your job when other men are losing theirs. And looks like the company's got to let some men go. And they have to do it. You can say, Lord, I made them a good hand. I done my best. How are you doing tonight, Grandma? You not like my grandma was, are you? She used to take a peach tree limb about that long and fuzz the end of it out. She used a big old 16-ounce glass of Garrett in just a little while. If we had put just, a very small amount of the multiplied millions we spend on tobacco in America in God's work, in the support of the missionaries, in the building of orphanage home for the orphans, in the supporting of our widows, they'd get along much better. I don't know as I'm after anybody tonight, but I felt in Oklahoma that maybe the Lord moved on me to preach to you children tonight. Oh no, Israel, you brought it on your own head. You shipped yourself out of your own country. You slipped the skids under yourself. Have an ocean to pray for y'all while I'm here and pray the old Indian prayer. I prayed for my boy Terry when I married him and Jen. May your moccasins make happy tracks in many snows. May the rainbow be on your shoulder, boy. How about it tonight? Did you read the 5th chapter of the book of Acts? Can't hardly see it, sure. In the latter part of the 4th chapter, everybody's selling everything and bringing it to the apostles' feet, and distributions made to every man. You don't believe in tithes, you better get to believing in them. You sure ain't going to want to believe like I'm reading here to you now, where they sold it all and brought every bit of it. You better go to believing in tithes. What if God made you sell all of it, Brother Doug? Woo! Wouldn't we get in a jam over that? Here I had 190 acres and sold it and give all of it. He just had 10 acres and sold it. You know I give more than he did. Ought to have chicken fried steak every day, and he ought to have to eat turnip greens. Wouldn't we get into it? They give it all. My text tonight is, O Israel, thou hast destroyed yourself. Don't tell me you can't do it. A poor ignorant soul down in Oklahoma said, well, now when my time comes to go, I'll go out in front of a train, see if your time ain't here. All right. Go out and jump in the Mississippi with a rock around your neck and see if your time ain't come.
Take your loaded shotgun, put it to your head, and pull the trigger and say, God, if it's my time, let it blow my head off. It'll blow your head off, God or no God. That's if some silly fellow didn't know how to make a shell to shoot or something. Away with such foolishness. You can take your life if you want to. Ram a knife in your heart tonight if you want to. Destroyed yourself. There's many a man I'm acquainted with them that's run their families off, run their wife off, run their children off, treated them like dogs. Only thing they had to say when they finally woke up was, I've done it myself. I've caused it myself. Many a boy tonight, many a grown man, a man my age, many a man my age, cries himself to sleep saying, I wish he was back with me. But it's impossible now. I've tore it up. Who am I talking to? They sold the land, brought it, and gave the money to the apostles, and they distributed to everybody as they had need. And here come Ananias. I know you'd think of that. Him and his wife Sapphira sold a possession, kept back part of the price of it. It kind of reminded me of a fellow in my church that paid tithes, give $1 a week. Paid tithes to give $1 a week, and said he paid tithes. Going to kill yourself here now. Woo, stay quiet, preacher, so you can understand every word I say. But we've got folks that say they pay tithes. I don't see how anybody can get by on $10 a week. Say amen back over there, honey, in the corner. I don't know how anybody can get by on $10 a week. While it was yours, was it not thine own? Couldn't you do with it what you wanted to? There's not a sensible preacher in Florida that'd ask any woman to send him the last dollar she had to prove God. Not a sensible one down there that'd do that. There's not a good preacher in this state or any other state that would ask any poor suffering woman or man to send them the last dollar they got. There's not a wholeness preacher in the world that wants any member of his church or congregation that owes the man down at the corner store that wants him to skip that bill and hand him the tithe money. There's not a wholeness preacher that lived before to take that tithe money that brother gives him and go pay that grocery bill for him for Yvonne to keep that boy a good name. So when that grocery merchant comes to that church, he can say, that old boy's paid me. He's a good one. He's got it. This money question in America is destroying lots of people because they lie about it. Did you ever hear of a wholeness preacher telling you he couldn't come if you didn't guarantee him so much? It's not right to put the toe to him no more. It's not right to tar and feather him. It'd be all right to tell him you don't ever need him and you never will need him and you didn't need him to start with and you're glad you found out what they were so you wouldn't be trouble with them. Never know Brother Moore do that, but you're finding out. We're destroying ourselves with our hypocrisy and with our lying to God. I'm busted, I'd give, but I'm broke. And you know you got 10 or 12,000 in your savings account. What are you going to do here? You're going to destroy yourself. You're going to lose your savings account. Got folks down where I'm at. I'm busted, I'd give. And I know, Ed, that they got money in the savings account. I don't want that money. I don't want that money. I had a millionaire here a while back. Brother Moore said, what must I do with my money? I said, here's a penny talking to $1 million now. You asking me what to do with your money. But you ask me, put it where it's solid. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Now you boss this to me, Scotland Money. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Invest it in something pretty solid. And if you don't know what is solid, the bank's about as solid you can get. Get you a good solid 10, 11, 8, 9% on it. And let it make you that much. You know it's making that. Don't take a chance on a shaky stock market. But if you are going to invest, you've got plenty of money, put it in something pretty solid. Real estate's pretty solid. Always has been. It'll go up and down, but value of other things won't you. And don't put it all in one basket. How about that? He knowed I wasn't after his dollars. Right.
We're destroying ourselves with our hypocrisy. Our young people coming up have no confidence. We can't find enough tax money. Stay with me now. May preach, Brother Brooks, before it's over. Don't want to get too stout. Don't want to get the folks mad at me. You got to watch your image. Always learn to make your points, boys, and keep your image. May God help us. A bunch of point makers. La da da do re mi fa sol la ti do. 1, 2, 3, 4. And out the door and away from God and lost.